Amen. The reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. 2 Timothy 4, 5 to 8. But you must keep control of yourself in all circumstances. Endure suffering. Do the work of the preacher of the good news, and perform your whole duty as a servant of God. As for me, the hour has come for me to be sacrificed. The time is here for me to live this life. I've done my best in the race. I've run the full distance, and I've kept the faith. And now, there's waiting for me the victory prize of being put right with God, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day, and not only to me, but to all those who wait with love for him to appear. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are going to share on the theme, the race is for the faithful. The race we are in to run is for the faithful. On our program is the race is not for the sweet. So I left out the negative one and put the positive one. The race is for the faithful. And when we talk of a race, it means there are more than one person or people competing for a prize or a position. A situation in which we compete to achieve something or some position. It could be in a race like in athletics, where you have the athletes running a 100-meter race. It could be like even in business, where you have competitors, different companies doing the same thing, competing to outwit each other in acquiring customers and so on and so forth, or even in a political race, where they are looking for the authority to be elected as president or even as parliamentarians or even district assembly member. All these involve races and there is competition. For any type of race at all, you need to have endurance to take part in the competition to the end. If you have no endurance, you will drop halfway. Endurance in itself is very necessary in life, all life situations, all life endeavors. Whatever you are doing, if you don't have endurance to endure difficulties, to endure challenges, you will never succeed in anything that you do. What we need to know is that when there are challenges in your life, the challenges are not to dampen your spirit. The challenges are there to bring out your best in that situation. And every challenge comes wrapped with a seed of equal success or even greater success. So we should endure challenges and face them squarely, believing in ourselves and hoping that what we intend to achieve will come our way. That is how we can succeed in a race that we have entered to do. Well, I have said there are many types of competitions, like the athletes. You know, 100 meters, you may have about so many of them, 6, 7, 8 line up. And when the whistle or the gun is shut, then you see the sound of the gun, you see people running. And everyone believes that he is going to be first. If you don't believe that you will be first, or you believe that you cannot make it, you will not go into that race. The same thing with people who are doing business. If you do similar business like others, what you need to do is to add value to whatever you do so that you will attract people to your site. This is a competition so that you can attract more customers. And in politics, we have seen it. People come promising heaven to the electorate that if you elect me, this is what I will do for you. These, they are trying to undo each other so that they will win your favor for you to vote for them to be the people selected. Even when we go to an interview for selections, there is a competition there. We are racing for a position. There is competition. If you don't have the courage, if you don't have the endurance, if you don't have the faith and the hope that you will be the only one to be selected, you may never go for any interview at all. But what I said is, every challenge that comes our way is not to discourage us. The challenges that come our way are there to bring the best out of us. For us believers, what kind of race are we involved in? What kind of race are we involved in, those of us who are believers? What is our ultimate goal? What are we aiming at? What do we want to achieve? Are you racing for recognition in the group here so that people will know that you are the oga in the group? So that people will bow down before you? Are you racing for power and authority so that when you talk, nobody else will say anything? Are you racing for riches and wealth? Is that your goal? No. And none of these should be our goal as believers. The readings we've just heard, Paul advised his younger companion and assistant to take him as an example. You know, he said he has run the race. He has won all that is left. He's gone to the full length of the race. All that is left for him is for the crown of glory to be given by the righteous judge. Was Paul talking about any of these targets or goals that I mentioned above? Was it that Paul should be recognized as somebody, or was it that he was looking for riches or political power? No. What Paul was talking about is the heavenly goal, which is our salvation. So it is necessary for us to race towards our ultimate goal, which is our salvation. That is the way we are racing towards. We race towards our heavenly goal, that is our salvation. And that is why Paul knows that it is not easy to race towards this goal. There will be a lot of challenges. So he is advising Timothy to endure all the sufferings and the challenges that will come his way, but to do his duty and his work as a preacher of the good news, and to perform his duty as a faithful servant of the gospel. I think this advice is not only to Timothy. St. Paul is advising us today, because we are all disciples of Christ. And further on, I will talk about it. But we are all disciples of Christ, and we are all supposed to be servants of the gospel. We are supposed to manage to go round as both of the prophecies mentioned. We are not going out. we sit in, we have been endowed with a lot of gifts, and we hold them to ourselves. We don't use them to bring out the gospel to the world. So it is good these prophecies came in at this time. So Paul is telling us the same thing. No matter the challenges that we go through, even the breaking down or the accident with the bus that we had, we should still endeavor to go out and spread the word and bring other people to the knowledge of Christ, who is loving, who has promised us salvation, if they don't know him. Eh? If they don't know him, as St. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 11 or so. If we don't spread the good news about Jesus, how will people ever get to know Christ? So, St. Paul is advising all of us to wake up from our sleep, just as the prophecy said, and be ready and willing to go out and work for the Lord. To go out and be real disciples of the Lord. As I've said already, for us believers, people of faith, our ultimate goal, is our salvation. And this has been promised by Christ, by the scriptures, in John 3:16. The Lord has promised eternal life to everyone who believes. However, we can only attain our salvation through faith in the Son of God. We can only attain our salvation through faith in the Son of God. We cannot on our own win our salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God to us. Ephesians 2:8-9. It is by God's grace that we have been saved through faith. We are, however, saved unto good works. Listen, we are saved by grace through faith. But because we are saved by grace we have been saved unto good works. It means while we are saved, we must be performing. We just don't say we are saved and sit down and relax. We must be performing our duties as demanded of our faith. It is through being faithful that we can attain our ultimate goal, which is our salvation. So, faithfulness in every endeavor, as I said, it is a base. Abraham, last week, when we had the topic, stand fast, or something like that, we had a story of Abraham. Abraham was faithful to his God. And because he was faithful and remained faithful to God, that is how he got his dream son, Isaac, at an old age. But if you look at the son was promised for a long time, but the promise was realized when Abraham hosted the three men, the three strangers that were passing. That fulfilled the promise. They were passing and he saw them and said, let me host you. Let me give you some refreshment before you continue. And after that, the man called and said, is your wife there? Next year by this time, when I come, she will be with a child. So Abraham's faithfulness brought him into some good deeds, that is generosity or hospitality. When we look at the other example that was given last week, Joseph, he remained faithful to his God. His dream, he was hoping to attain it, but certain things came in, challenges came in. But what he did was, he still remained faithful to his God, to the point that a young man was tempted by a beautiful lady getting nude before him, asking him to go to bed with him, and he refused. He preferred to go to prison. He went to prison, and enduring all these things, God still remained faithful to God. Eventually, he became the prime minister of Egypt. Faith, for example, is a personal act of a free response to the invitation of God, who reveals himself to us in life situations. Faith, however, is not an isolated act. Since one cannot believe alone, just like one cannot live alone, faith is received from some other people and should be given to other people. That is where the message came in. You have received gifts and you are staying with them. Each believer is a link in the chain. Those of you who wear chains, you have the link there and they link together. Each believer, each of us is like a link in that chain. One cannot believe without being carried by the faith of other believers. One cannot believe without being carried by the faith of other believers. Our faith must help us support others in their faith. That is what the message says in the scriptures. We have responsibilities as disciples of Jesus. Jesus has commissioned us to go to all people everywhere and make disciples and teach them to obey his teachings. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. To emphasize this responsibility, St. Paul also says, everyone who calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. How can they call on him if they don't believe? How can they believe if they have not heard the message? How can they hear the message if it is not proclaimed? The second message said we should proclaim the word. The second message said we should proclaim the word. So if we are not ready to go and proclaim the word, how will people get to know about Jesus or to know Jesus and to call on his name to be saved? Even though salvation is an individual affair, it is not like the earthly races where people try to outdo one another. Our salvation is not like the earthly race where there are fiji going to shrine, taking dope and other things so as to be the winner. No. For the race of salvation, we need to help one another to get to the destination, just as we are in the chain. So if you are in the chain, how can you outdo others without pulling them along? You can't. So we need each other to get to our final destination, which is our salvation. That is the reason why Jesus has commissioned us to go out to the whole world and proclaim the good news. Paul has emphasized it in what we have just said. Salvation is not an individual race, so that we can boast about our status in the faith. It's not an individual race. It is a collective race. We are doing it together. We are pulling each other along. So it is time for us to realize that it is not an individual about me alone. The salvation is about the whole community. It's about the whole of glory of God. It's about the whole of St. Cecilia. It is about the whole Catholic Church. It is about all Christendom. The stronger you are in your faith, the bigger your responsibility to carry others along. The stronger you are in your faith, the bigger is your responsibility to carry others along. Our faith will empower us to perform our duties as disciples without getting tired. And if you go to Isaiah 40, 29 to 31, those who rely on the Lord, their strength will be renewed, and they will soar like eagle with the wings of eagle, and so on and so forth. Young men get tired and drop out, but those who trust in the Lord will never fail. To conclude, my brothers and sisters, I want to emphasize again, the race for salvation is a lifelong race and requires endurance to stay in the race. For salvation is a lifelong race and requires endurance to stay in the race. It requires faith and faithfulness for renewal of our strength. It requires faith and faithfulness for God to renew our strength when we are getting weak. It requires cooperation with one another to carry us along the way. Yes, if we cooperate with one another, if I am weak, you will pull me along. If you are weak, the others will pull you along. So salvation needs cooperation between us, believers. Because salvation is about the whole community of believers. It's not for one person outside. That is why the church exists. If not, if it was for one person, then there is no need having a church. But we want to go together so that we can pull each other along. I said it's about the whole community of believers and requires unity of purpose that will help us to carry the weak along. In whatever way we can play a role in the salvation of others. In whatever way we can play a role in the salvation of others, we should thank God and say, we have only performed our duty. Praise the Lord. So yes, let us bow our heads down and reflect a little and pray. We are talking about salvation. That is a lifelong race. How have you seen this race? What do you think about it? How are you performing in this race? Do you try to do it on your own? Or you rely on the Lord, who is going to renew your strength daily to keep you in the race? What about the unity of purpose in our lives? How do we work as a community of believers? How do you see your brother? How do you see your sister? How do you help out when one is weak and has fallen? What do you do to raise that person up so that you can carry that person along? My brother, my sister, we have been called to be disciples. We have a role to play. How have you involved yourself in this responsibility? You have been equipped with a lot of gifts. Gifts that should be used in the church. Gifts that should be used to promote the welfare of the church and to let others experience the love of God. What are you doing with those gifts? Are you afraid? If you are afraid, where is your faith? Where is your faith if you are afraid? Has God not promised us that He will always be with us in every situation of our lives? with fear, which is a seed from the devil. You want him to rob you of your talents. When you have performed, how do you feel? When things are going well with you, how do you feel? Do you take the glory? Or you just thank God and say, my God, glory to you. For the young ones that are struggling for positions and the institutions, how do you feel when you are rejected? Do you think that is the end? The Lord is only telling you, at the appropriate time, your aim will be fulfilled. Why don't you trust him? Just offer yourself to the Lord. Allow him to use you in whatever you are doing, in whatever situation you are, whatever you are doing as a believer. Try to promote that he will help you promote the word of God, the spreading of the word of God, in whatever situation you find yourself. Father, you are the source of everything. You know us more than we know ourselves. You know where we fail and where we are succeeding. Even our success comes from you. The failure is just for us to step up and reflect and wait for the appropriate time. They are stepping stones on which we can raise ourselves higher. We thank you even when we fail. Where we have failed, we thank you. Where we have succeeded, we bless your name. We are asking, Lord, we are your disciples. We have declared that you are our Lord and we will follow you. Help us to resurrect the hidden talents that are in us, that we may use them and use them profitably for the glory of the growth of your kingdom. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who is Lord. Amen.